It is.
Yeah. All right, we're here. Gerald Furl. How are you?
All right.
You're going to jump in after the author does his introduction, right?
That's right.
Okay.
I got the body.
Yes.
Of the death.
All right, Dizzy. What's this story called again?
It is called Caramelized Indigenous Aliens Club.
Nice. And you're going to read the introduction to this.
I am.
This jig.
I'm going to introduce this motherfucker.
Go for it.
When I was a student, I was in many clubs. It kept me out of class. In fact, now that I think of it, I never went to one fucking class. I could not accept a culture that would have me as a consultant. Others would scurry to class while I would say, nope, got a club to go to. I remember these clubs fondly as places where I'd write nonsense, like this tale before you, Caramelized Indigenous Aliens Club.
There it is.
I call myself Walter in this one, and Walter's one chill motherfucker. He's a lot like me, even though he doesn't have any friends, and he likes to boss people around, and he has body odor issues, and he likes to, he likes to boss around people around. I already said that. And he likes to boss people around.
Okay.
I already said that. And he likes to boss people around. I already said that.
Who bossed who around?
This guy was... and he... he keeps pigeons in his bedroom.
Oh, good.
And he once planned to kill the president of the USA by loaning him his parents' death trap of a car. Actually, he's exactly like me. Come to think of it, when Walter opens the first Caramelized Club meeting, he starts to ask everyone if anyone has ever... He opens the first Caramelized
Club.
He starts to ask if anyone...
Not as easy as look.
No, I know. I'm not that easy. You can do it,
doesn't it? Alright. He starts to ask if anyone has ever been a worthless...
a worthless what?
Has there ever been a worthless piece of walking crap?
Okay.
Show of hands, he asks, raising his hand as an example. It was a terrible mistake that I can't forget to this day. Well, anyway, here's a little one act that I call Caramelized Indigenous Aliens Club.
Excellent. That's Rashawn and Ben, right?
That was, yes, Rashawn and Ben.
I guess Gail will read that, but I thought it'd be...
Wait a minute, I have to get up now.
Okay.
Fatty made it funny!
You guy in the fence. Good work, then. So, the way they have this set up here... I guess it's good. I thought it might be a little too low. So if you need to raise the roof a little, you can do this. Zoom in a little bit more. Do what you think, man.
All right.
Gerald.
Caramelized Indigenous Aliens Club.
He's no stranger to this game. Whoop.
Yeah.
Boy, the lights came on.
The light is on, dude. This is like third degree action here.
This one light here came on.
How do you turn it off?
That's your interrogation. I think you put an interrogation mode accidentally.
Gerald. What is that?
Tell me about this club.
What does it say?
What is this? Caramelized.
There we go. Okay. You're not being interrogated anymore.
I feel much better. That harsh light, I can see that when people start to confess, you know.
Right. I don't want to fuck with that.
It's like, I don't even know what crime they're talking about, but whatever it is. Yeah, it was me.
Alright.
So here we are. Here it is. The Caramelized Indigenous Aliens Club. Walter collapsed. He was always collapsing. He gets nervous when he's around dens of children he doesn't know. I declare this session of the Caramelized Indigenous Aliens Club open, he said, after righting himself. He hoisted the black and monstrous gavel and then slammed it down so hard that it shattered into steak and tiny John Leguizamos. And then he collapsed again, right into Greg's lap. Motherfuck! It was a broad lap, large and stretchy. In fact, a cartel of pelicans had been painting a mural on it when Walter came crashing down. Walter had once again turned a silly meeting into sillier comedy. Everyone licking their lips in anticipation of eating fallen prey and then laughing maniacally instead. Walter then got tossed around from person to person till he wound up on the Givenchy and, curiously, red sofa. "This is a great place for caramelized indigenous aliens to congregate," Walter thought, before passing out again. The boy Greg was sitting on the old sofa, Walter having been passed 360 degrees around the room. Greg was serving his second 9-year sentence as club pediatrician, specializing in examining Bonnie and Natasha, who had just walked into the room. His succulent, rodent fingers, Greg held the Christ figure, dressed as an android from the movie War of the Galatasarays, and he was making it move while mumbling to himself. Evan, the boy mayor of this burg, also had a Christ figure, but his was dressed like Uhuru from Star Trek, complete with sexy miniskirt and anatomically correct go-go boots. "Chivas!" Walter screamed as he tried to break into consciousness. "Chivas is a great football team de Mexico. It is the only Mexican football club to have exclusively Mexican nationals on the roster." "What time is it? Where am I? It's my first grunion run, and I'm impatient to see dead fish rolling around on the sand." Needless to say, nobody paid any attention to him. Bonnie herself was dressed as an alive monkey from the movie The Gay Man's Nude Retreat of Galatasaray. Her friend, Natasha, was a girl so solemn that her family had constructed a force field around her that she was obliged to break out of if she wanted to eat, sleep, or defecate. "Chivas!" Walter repeated. "Chivas is a great football team de Mexico. It is the only Mexican football club to have exclusively Mexican nationals on the roster." Evan was now reading a book to the Christ Uhuru. He'd taken his digitalis that morning, and he was on a crash course set for horribly uncontrollable convulsions. "Hey, excuse me," Walter was finally coming to. "It is rude to read to Christ Uhuru when I'm trying to fucking conduct a meeting." Which episode of Star Trek was the Christ Uhuru in? Walter asked himself. Walter always erred on this side of asphyxiation with his club. You never knew what these boys would pull. Walter had been eating a pie once. Okay, get this. When Bonnie sliced him open like a day-old piglet and then asked him if he still wanted to be the club's fearless leader, and if he did, could she have $5 till Tuesday? Why is everyone always asinine? Why do girls slice me up like they're hummus on sulfuric acid? There must be a reason for this crazy shit, Walter thought. And for the third time, it came to him. The possibility that hanging out with other boys who were interested in Star Trek and in chicks might just infuriate chicks and William Shatner and realign the planets. Does the Christ Uhuru really exist? The universe would be a better and sexier place if it did. The light traveling through the window had traveled a bazillion miles to get there. And now what? Besides frying us alive like human cancer sticks, Walter collapsed again, woke up and screamed, "Chivas!" "Chivas is a great football team de Mexico. It is the only Mexican club of football to have only Mexican nationals on the roster." Riding himself once more, he asked, "Are we grunion hunting or not? I may be the new boss of this club, but I want you all to stop cutting me and cursing me, and also, I want you to officially name me your El Presidente. Then I'm going to start doing a good job." Greg, who you remember was on the couch, was now all over Bonnie like Marcelo Mastroianni on rice. Evan snickered and looked up his Christ Uhuru's miniskirt. "Look, let's start the bullcrap," Natasha said, angry that these boys were getting excited by plasticine figures and Bonnie. "I'm horny." "Did I just say horny?" "No one's listening to you," Bonnie said, pushing Greg's hand between her legs. "First, we're ignoring this Walter fuck, and then we'll ignore you. Wait your turn." "Fuck you," Natasha said resignedly. "Get another social disease." Walter looked over the faces of his minions. "These minions aren't very enthusiastic," he said to himself. Are they real, or have all the major planets realigned? I'm going to read the minutes from our last fiasco, Bonnie announced to Walter. The girl then pulled out a submarine sandwich. She started eating and talking at the same time.
Well, during our last fiasco, she began, we talked about how fond we all were of watching things get blown up. And then we all went to the Extraterrestrial Museum of Greater Boston. And then, according to some notes that Greg jotted down, he was talking with Mr. Hemming about the way the sun sets. Oh, and also the sun rises, the way it rises. Greg's handwriting is pretty fucked up. And then some nonsense about whether extraterrestrials have carnivals, and if they do they have carnies? Mr. Hemming was sick, Greg told her. He couldn't talk for 2 weeks after that. Coincidence? I don't think so. Bonnie's eyes went white. When her pupils popped back in, she continued reading the minutes. In our latest fiasco, Natasha proposed taping the editorial staff, the club bulletin, together with radioactive duct tape, and we're supposed to discuss that proposal today. I never said duct tape. It couldn't be any radioactive tape, Natasha told Bonnie. Duct tape is bad news, Evan said, interrupting his reading to the Christ Uhuru. Well, I think we've gotten the editorial staff's attention, Walter said. Anyone else have any lame ideas? We all have lame ideas. Well, for instance, we all believe that we are mutants from the planet of tiles, Evan contested. If the editorial staff of the club bulletin would cooperate with us, we wouldn't have to tape them up with radioactive tape or any kind, or call them lame-ass aliens. Evan doesn't get it, Greg said. When he's not calling attention to himself, he's fishing in Cabo and taking all the club's secrets and monies with him. Everyone stomped their feet and talked at the same time. Walter lifted his hand to impose silence. What the fuck minutes are you reading, Bonnie? He asked, trying not to have tears of frustration seen above the din of the crowd. I have read this shit like 100 times now, she answered. I find a place in my heart, and all the bile and succubus sauce comes flying out. Your family's flying out, Greg mumbled. Who said that last act of treachery? Walter bumbled. He was confused. Why was everyone jumping and shouting? Talk to the hand, kids, Walter implored. I'm the new club president, and I want you all working for me. Where is the me in team? No one even responded. Greg was looking in the dictionary. It's near the beginning. And at the end, Greg, Evan answered. Hey, call your segues, Greg said, lifting salt above the sofa and sprinkling it all over the place. This was the price he paid for having been couched on an escalator instead of a sofa. All of a sudden, Greg started floating around the room, pouring salt on everyone and everything. Carbonized indigenous aliens! Fuck all of you! He exclaimed and then pulled his penis out of his pants, two by two. Carized aliens? Walter asked. You stupid fuck! No one here is carized! Greg opened the salt shaker and pulled out caramelized Caucasians, the color of Miss Vicky. I'm going to carterize you, he screamed. I'm going to carterize you and then crap down your pie hole. Excuse me. I'm still reading the motherfucking minutes, and there is nothing in here about caramelizing or saltalizing anyone. Bonnie exclaimed and shot a snot rocket at Greg. She looked out at all of the caramelized bodies in the audience, started masturbating. I can do that with a penis, Walter said, extending his manhood outside of his jeans. Check it out. And then he came. He sprayed caramelized cum all over the place. Sweet smell of caramelized cum permeated the room, like the smell of smoldering dumbfuck in a downtown cafe. Natasha, with her habitually forlorn expression, looked like she could use the little caramelized cum. And on cue, she started rubbing it all over her teeth. Greg saw this as his cue to go back and hit the bong with Evan, but first he waited until this sentence ended. And then it was that he saw two caramelized, indigenous, alien club members entering without their masturbation cards. No masturbation cards, no entree, Greg told them. And that's too bad, because everyone's beaten off. Immediately, Evan started orgasming, ejaculating a strange and grandiose fluid.
You wrote this shit, dude.
He writhed around, squinting his eyes and moaning. His eyes and his back were both hunched over like a common world globe. Evan had gotten into his underwear lust once again. He'd once gotten the underwear lust in math class so bad that caramelized cum was permanently attached to the classroom's obtuse angle. It was so bad, his classmates voted him out of the class and then literally rode him out of class on a high-fidelity stereo. Walter screamed in terror, just thinking of Evan hunched over like a common globe, like a dog in heat. He resented Evan's underwear lust. Caramelized indigenous aliens, Walter was gripping. Evan has converted to pan-alienism. Bonnie emitted a prolonged and anguished chimichanga. And Bonnie's roar continued, chimichanga-ing, until a clam fell over everyone. And clams made the indigenous aliens calm. You'd have thought someone brought a keg of Xanax to the meeting, but it was just a clam jarred loose from the rafters by Bonnie's chimichanga ink. In addition to chimichanga, Bonnie also spoke two blue languages, red and not so red. She also spoke, but could not understand, greasy cola and rosy red, cubed peckerwood, and gopher. Bonnie, you converting me to pan-alienism, Walter exclaimed. The caramelized! Greg was converting also, except he was converting into a beast with four butts, three hearts, and balding green hair. Natasha's head sprouted antennae. Her head itself turned white and gray. You could see that the rigors of meeting week after week with all these crawdaddies was taking its toll on everyone's entropy. We're converting into alien iguanas, Walter outed, scratching his quickly balding head with a pair of sofa recliners. All come the caramelized, undignified, all suck. Holy Jesus! Walter was fucked. His beady eyes leered and his heart filled with latent violence. Wait a minute, he said this to his new rooster slash penis. If you're a rooster, when did my penis secede from this union? This is just fucking miserable. It can't change into a rooster with arms? I have plans for it. And those plans did not involve roosters, although they did involve hands. But why do I get transformed into a rooster eunuch? The others were running around like roosters with their three hands chopped off, babbling, lamenting their labia amortizations, humping trash cans, and clicking their new shiny mandibles. Boys and girls, Walter babbled into the microphone, I'm sorry about all this, but at least it's not Legionnaire's disease. Okay, I'm sorry again. Walter was trying to calm everyone, but he didn't speak not so red or rosy red, and he knew the crowd would soon turn on him. Please now, please, we don't want to set fire to our friends. He gone beyond Babylon into Babylonia, and we really don't want to set fire to our club president now. We need a new president, Bonnie said in cube peckerwood, lamenting the loss of her labia in the blue language. This one's got a rooster for a dick. They devoured Walter in a matter of seconds. There was nothing left except his head and a random tendon. This club meeting is concluded, Greg declared with a sonorous burp. Boys and girls, we can start any time now. Jake took out his false teeth and put them in his pants pocket. He bragged that his pants could hold anything, and the snails crawling out of them, and now the teeth, proved it. It had been messy, this caramelized indigenous aliens club meeting. It had been a reunion from hell for Greg. Evan had been paired like a crazy chicken, reading Time Marches On as his life's blood marched out of him.
Greg found out that Bonnie and Natasha were lovers, and he'd found their stash of saucy home movies. "Let's welcome our new president," Bonnie exclaimed. "Yes, yes," everybody yelled and applauded. Jake bowed. "Thank you," he said. "As your new president, I declare that I'm abdicating." Jake wasted no time in fucking with these indigenous aliens' collective caramelized minds. He reached into his pants, pulled out his false teeth, held them in his hand, and let them do the talking. "But before he abdicates," the teeth said, "I have one question. Do y'all validate?"
That it?
That's the way it ends.
Chris, stop that. That's the thing.